How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Everybody does this. Everybody talks themselves. And it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't talk back or start an argument. But you can get into a lot of conflict. Hinton had a good one. He said, the one thing good about talking to yourself is you get to carry on an intelligent conversation. Did I say it the right way? Sometimes it's the only way to have an intelligent conversation is to talk to yourself. But learn to talk to yourself. This is actually taught to us in the Scripture. Look at this. The Scripture says this is not a happy incident, but he thought within himself, saying. He thought within himself, and then he starts talking to himself. And he said, and look at this, I will say to my soul, learn to talk to your soul. Otherwise, your soul will talk to you. Your soul will control you. And that's why we have depression and discouragement. Because our soul's condition rules us instead of we ruling our soul. And the soul, why art thou downcast, O my soul? Your soul can get you down. Your soul can make you sick. Your soul can fill you with fear. So you and I need to learn to speak to our souls. I'm going to take this a step farther. So here's a case in Luke. Let's look at another one. Then the steward said within himself. Now he said, he spoke. He spoke within himself. So this is a biblical precept. Afterward, he said within himself. Now, this was a judge. A judge was considering whether to grant the request of a widow lady, and he was inclined to not to. But after a while, he said within himself, and he decides to change his mind because he talked to himself. He changed what otherwise would have been his soul's decision. That's why it's important to learn to talk to yourself. Learn to speak to your soul. Here it is. Here's David doing it. Why art thou... Look, he's talking to... Guess here's who he's talking to. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Now watch this, because David is asking questions of his soul, and he gives directions to his soul. Now watch this. He said, why are you disquieted within me? And then he tells his soul what to do. Hope thou in God. I am telling you, soul, to stop being cast down and put your hope in God. Can you see from that the benefits of speaking to your soul? By speaking to your soul, you can straighten your soul out. Why does the soul need straightening out? Let me see if I got that here. Let's take the second point. Speak to your soul with discretion. I'm going to come to the discretion part. Before you bother with that, I want you to look at this. Your soul is an accumulation of thoughts and ideas and feelings that it picked up somewhere or from some places with or without discretion. You can get stuff in your soul you didn't intend to get in your soul. Everybody follow that? Because your soul, your thoughts and feelings and ideas are simply an accumulation of what you've picked up from various and sundry sources. that got into your soul without passing a test. Everybody follow that? The test of discretion in this case. That's why, for example, the scripture says you need to watch who you associate with, because stuff rubs off from other people on us, and we don't. It doesn't go through usually some mechanism of evaluation before it gets to us. Simply by association, you collect stuff. And a lot of us got what we got from our parents, who got it from their parents, and we've just always done it that way before. We've always just thought that way before. And so the soul, generation after generation, becomes enslaved to thoughts and ideas of which it did not inspect, did not author, and did not critique. And that's why we have trouble with our souls. Because we've got stuff there. That's why Scripture says, make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. You didn't mean to pick up bad stuff from this person, but you did. And some of us have learned that the only way we have learned to respond to difficult things is with anger. Because that's the condition of the soul. So, you want to do something about your soul. And you want to do it for a whole bunch of reasons, one, the least of which is not how it affects your health. So, speak to your soul, but speak with discretion. Let's learn just a bit about discretion. Everybody okay? Like, I'm really not into, you know, but I just felt like I didn't get done Sunday, and so you're getting the tail end here. Look at Psalm 112. A good man will guide his affairs with discretion. Unless there is the exercise of discretion, of, let me use a couple other words, discrimination, unless you make thoughts, ideas, and feelings pass through an acceptance test, then your life will just go whichever way the wind blows it, whatever way is easy. You will not be able to set a course. Because your soul just meanders around, manipulated by thoughts and feelings that have had no criteria foisted upon them, no qualification did they have to meet. And that, my friends, is why most of us feel often, or have felt, if not now, hopefully used to, not now, it's why people feel out of control. Because the soul has got these accumulations of thoughts, ideas, and feelings which the person never intended to, and this soul is always speaking to them, dictating from its own lack of experience, or its own false experience, or its own wicked experience, or its own negative experience. And we're living with this messenger inside of us, you see? But a good man will guide the affairs of his life with discretion. My son, watch this now. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Watch. So shall they be life to your soul. Wisdom and discretion are needed to keep the soul healthy. Speak to your soul. But say to it the kind of things that have passed the test of discretion. Be discriminating about what you say to yourself. Why is that important? Because what you say to yourself, you will believe. Because faith comes from hearing. Remember, the power of death and life is in the tongue. And you can say stuff to yourself that will make you disgusted or discouraged or downcast. We're talking tonight about some of the keys of mental health. And we covered so much of it. Sunday was like, you got to load. These are just some additional thoughts I wanted you to have. Keep. Let's go back, look at the scripture. I'm going to tell you once again, my friends, the best, most important thing that you get when you come here is what shows up on that screen right here with a scripture reference under it. And by the way, would you join me in prayers? A week from Tuesday, we're having a pastor seminar here for 5 hours. We're teaching the iniquity to local pastors here. So, great seminar. Looking forward to it. And Brother Ted's been busy setting that up. So keep those pastors in your prayers. And let's look at the word. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. They will be life to your soul. Now watch, the word I want you to get is this. The keeping of your soul requires some vigilance. Very few people think about what they think about. So stuff just comes in. I mean, we get it through the eyes, ears, sometimes through the nose too. I mean, smells can make you think a certain way. Did you know that? Just visit the cosmetic. Don't do it. The cosmetic counter, I was going to say, and read the stuff that those smells are supposed to do. Most of them are unholy. Well, you want to be careful what smells you carry on your person. What to make another person think of when they smell you. I don't. Is there a better word for that? Mike, sniff you? Well, I don't know. There was wisdom. There was wisdom. And discretion. You have to keep discretion. Discretion isn't something you just do once in a while. That's like closing the gate once in a while to keep whatever outside. Oh, when it's open, they're coming in, or vice versa. So, speak to your soul with discretion. So the question then becomes, well, let's look at this.
Look at what discretion shall preserve you, and understanding will keep you. So what is the biblical standard for discretion? What filter, what mechanism should I place between everybody else in the world and my soul to filter out what they're selling me, telling me, manipulating, mesmerizing me to believe, think, feel? And believe me, it is somewhat tragic that the main intercourse between peoples in the world today are based on mental manipulation to get you to act in a way that is profitable for them, not you. So what standard? Now, this is probably everybody here knows the standard. But I want to just give you the eight criteria that should be the test by which you accept stuff into your soul. And it's the same test by which should control what you say to your soul. See, speak to yourself with discretion. If you say the wrong stuff to your soul will damage you over and over again. You will create a repository, because that's what your soul is. It is a collection of thoughts, ideas, and feelings from various and sundry sources. And what we want to do is speak to our souls in such a way as to get the bad stuff out of our souls and the good stuff into our souls, because then you will have mental health, emotional strength, and spiritual vitality. Your soul will be alive. Let me say this. Church should not be an experience where we come together with dead souls. You can have a whole congregation of dead souls. And, watch this, let's say you got a congregation where only 75% of them have dead souls. Do you know how that 75% influenced the other 25%? So let me ask you a question. Who are you going to let suppress your soul when you come to church, the house of God? When it's time to say praises to the Lord, you all know what I'm talking about? You can get to a place where you can be shut right up and refuse to lift up your voice in the congregation, which is what the scriptures tell us to do. Lift up your voice in the congregation. Shout unto the Lord. Magnify His name. Sing His praises. Why? Because you see, we have damaged souls. My burden for us as a congregation this year, in the next couple of months, I want us to get our souls set free. How will we know when our soul is set free? Number one, your soul will be at rest. Whoa, right? We covered that Sunday. Secondly, it will be full of joy. I mean, we're not talking about happiness that comes and goes, or happiness that you can get for a dollar or a quarter or whatever. We're talking about joy. It just doesn't blow away ever. It's bubbling, gurgling. Oh, you're just full of joy. That's what your soul's supposed to be like. Thirdly, it's supposed to be satisfied. No longings, no appetites that control your time, your behavior, or your energy. And fourthly, the rest, full of joy, satisfaction, and the ability, not the ability, the enthusiastic desire to give praise to God every time you get a chance. That's the soul that's in the right condition. And church, we got to work on getting ourselves in condition so that every one of us that comes here with a soul that's set free of depression, discouragement, and is at rest, full of joy, has satisfaction, and is ready to give praise to God at its very loudest decibel, lifting up the soul unto God. I don't think there is anything so discouraging. Well, I don't know if that's not the word. There's anything so antithetical, contradictory, as a group of people singing a song, "My soul escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler." What should we then do in a meeting? And the tendency is for leaders to say, well, hey, I got to get these people psyched to do this one way or another because this is not going to be a successful meeting. And so we bring in whatever mechanical methods, leadership skills that can get people to do what they didn't really feel like doing it. Why didn't they feel like doing it? Because their soul doesn't have that feeling. You understand what I'm talking about? Got to be able to come in here. And in fact, before you get in here, enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into the courtyard with praise and be thankful. I mean, y'all come in here already, ready to go. For us to get to this place as a congregation, for us to get to this place as individuals, because the congregation is simply the aggregate of what each of us is, we must deal with our souls. What is a biblical standard? What should you be putting in your soul? How should you be restricting what goes to your soul? Biblical standard. You don't want to put any error in your soul whatsoever. It must be true. If it doesn't pass the criteria of truth, we should not let our soul have it. You want to tell the truth to your soul. You see, your soul already feels rotten. And it's in desperate need of somebody to manage it, to fix it, to bring it into control, to bring it into its proper condition. And you're the one. So when you speak to your soul, you want to tell your soul the truth. Until your soul is persuaded of the truth, it will move from error to error to error. It will have feelings that lie. It will have thoughts that are incorrect. Decision-making will be difficult, or if it's easy, it will be easy to make the wrong decision. It has to be true. Then it has to be honest. It shouldn't have strings attached to it. People might tell your soul something that's true, but what they're really doing is telling you your soul stuff in order to manipulate it to a behavior or a response or whatever. And that's dishonest because they really got a covert, they got a covered up agenda. Everybody, you all follow what I'm saying? It has to be just. It has to be justified. It has to meet the legal requirements of just And, in addition, imagine what your soul would be like if you only told it pure things. Imagine the condition of your soul if you didn't allow anyone else to give you impure thoughts or feelings. You say, well, preacher, I'd have to wear blinders on my eyes. Yep. That's the secret of Job chapter 31, isn't it? This is what Job said. Why should I look on handmaidens to lust after them? How can I stop doing this, Job was saying. Because he had a damaged soul. And when he looked at a handmaiden, his soul lusted. He had feelings and thoughts, unrighteous ones. So, here's what he said. Why then shall I look on handmaiden to lust after her? Next verse. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look. Eyes, you're not going to look at that because you will put stuff in my soul that does not belong there. Listen to the words of David. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You see, having the right criteria to control what your eyes see and what your thoughts think and what feelings and what gets conveyed to you is the secret of getting your soul set free from bondages. Let me take this, let me get in the health thing for a moment. I don't know how the time got to where it is, so we'll get to it. You can make yourself sick if you allow your soul to believe things that are not true. I'm going to show you that. If we get there. You can make yourself sick. By letting your soul have impurity in it. The end of what I prepared tonight, which we're obviously not going to get to the end. I don't even know if we'll get to the middle. But I'm going to cover factors that affect health and healing. Right out of the Bible. I'm going to give you the end right now. I'm going to give you it in pricey form. Everybody knows what a pricey is? You ever had to write a pricey in school? Oh, I hate those. Leave out the best part. Anyhow, here's the pricey view. There are nutritional factors that cause sickness. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. There are nutritional factors that make us sick. Two, I'm going to show you in the Bible that there are environmental factors that make us sick. I'm going to show them exactly to you what they are, environmental factors. Number three, there are emotional factors that make you sick. That's what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about your feeling, your thinking-feeling apparatus, which is your soul, can make you sick. Show it to you. Watch this one. There are moral factors that can make us sick. And so, I want to bring that around to where we're at right now. You don't want impure stuff going into your soul. So, the criteria
says it has to be pure. Let me take... Is it okay if I go slow? You know, I could whip through this thing, but it's more important that you get something than you just hear a bunch. Let me take this word pure a step farther. Pure means, are you ready? The absence of mixture. You got pure gold, you got nothing else in it but gold. We call it 24 karat. That's the kind of gold I like. My ring is 24. I just didn't want mixture. Pure is the absence of mixture. Here's what we tend to do with our souls. We tend to think, well, I'll tell my soul something pure, but then it gets something impure. And we've got this mix. And when you have a mix, guess what you have? No purity. Because purity is the absence of mixture. There's a little arsenic in the pie. Let me tell you, the whole pie is poisonous. You got it? How do we know this? Let me give you the scripture. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. This matter of purity is not a matter of being pure for 5 days and then impure for one, watching my thoughts for 1 month but not the next. It can't have mixture. If the mixture gets in your soul, then you haven't got purity in your soul. Now that, I'm not just talking here about moral things. It does include moral things. But if you send a mixture of signals to your soul, make one up here. I'm a failure. Somebody else says to you, you're a failure. You don't want that in your soul. Here's a kid who brings home a report card that's not so hot. Like, how many besides me ever brought one of those home? Oh, I feel right at home. My dad used to look at my grades and say, son, one thing I can say about you, with marks like these, you sure can't be cheating. My grades were just a little underwater, you know, below sea level. Well, you take this child who fails at something, or what you don't want to do is take a piece of paper like this and put a big F on it for failure and stick it on his mirror. Every time he goes in the bathroom, he sees... We don't put a placard with a big F failure on it and hang it on the door of his bedroom. But we do that. And stuff gets into the soul of a child that may not come out the rest of his life. Because maybe there's nobody who really cares for his soul. Maybe he'll never get to a real, plain, vanilla, honest-to-God church where somebody can tell him how to help his soul. Somebody doesn't have an agenda for him. That's why you want to speak to your soul, and you want to speak with discretion, and discretion means making sure everything you say to your soul is pure, no mixture. Don't pat him on the one back one day and tell him he's no good the next. Do you know what y'all know what I'm talking about? Talking about your soul. What's your soul telling you about you that disgusts you or discourages you or depresses you? What does your soul tell you about you? Understand that your soul is simply the accumulation of thoughts, ideas, and feelings that may have gotten there without any discretion exercised over it. So it has to be pure, no mixture. Oh, isn't this wonderful? You want to talk to your soul and tell your soul lovely things. I'm handing you a bouquet right now, flowers. You want to tell your soul lovely things about yourself. Oh, listen to this. You want to tell your soul lovely things about your spouse. Because if you tell your soul lovely things about your spouse and there's no mixture, guess how we respond to our spouse? It's like every sentence is fragrant, perfumed. It got ointment in it. You want to tell your soul lovely things about your parents. You want to tell your soul lovely things about your children. And you have to deal with some stuff with children that's not nice, but you want to deal it with it biblically, get it behind you. It's not in your soul anymore. When discipline's done and everything is restored, it's out. Not in soul anymore. It's gone. I wish I had the ability tonight to give you, to plant in your soul a whole bunch of lovely things and nothing else. I wish I physically had the ability to go, you know, put you all in suspended animation and make you hold still till I dealt one person at a time, and I was able to yank out of your soul all the yucky stuff and leave you with just flowers. That's what I want you to do with your soul. I want you to make sure that what goes in your soul is lovely. Oh, it will be health. It will be healing. Soul should be lovely. No evil reports in your soul. Don't watch too much news. I'm not telling you to get your head in the sand, bury it like the proverbial ostrich. You need to know what's going on so we can. But you can get too much of that stuff in your soul. Bad news. Bad reports. Evil reports. Let me tell you something. If somebody comes and tells you a story about somebody else, and you listen to it, that evil report will stay in your soul. It will discolor every thought you have about that person. we don't receive evil reports.
We need a basic seminar here, don't we? And if you haven't read, we have I don't know how many pages we got. We got 8 pages on avoiding the defilement that comes from listening to evil reports.
Where do you think the defilement from listening to an evil report, where do you think the defilement resides?
In your soul.
We allow somebody to make an unlovely, ugly, evil report and deposit it in our souls.
That's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. You need to sort out what you hear.
And you need to take a stand against the wrong evil that's and tell the person who's spreading it, you'd be damaging my soul if I listened to you. I'm sorry, I can't allow you to do that. And you obviously believe this evil report, so you know,
they got soul damage.
So it must have a good report. And
is it virtuous? Let me tell you what virtue is. Ready? There's your definition for virtue. Virtue is the absence of evil. The absence of evil. Zero evil is what. So that's what virtue is.
So that's what you want to put in your soul. And lastly,
if it's praiseworthy. Now watch this. Think, okay, soul, I'm telling you, soul, this is all you're getting to think on. Okay, let me see if I can get to, the halfway mark at least. Speak to your soul. Speak to your soul with discretion. Number 3. Speak comfortably to your soul and the souls of others.
It is not accidental or incidental that the name of the Holy Spirit given to us from the lips of the Master is Comforter.
So here's Job talking. Now he's got 3 friends who came to comfort him, right? But they didn't say the right stuff to his soul. And he said, y'all are miserable comforters. He says, is there going to be an end to your vain words? What makes you so bold that you answer this way? Look what he says. I could speak as you do if your soul were in my soul's stead. In other words, if you were in the trouble I was in instead of me, and I was coming to comfort you, I could talk to you the same way you've talked to me, miserable comforters. I could heap up words against you. Oh, isn't that sad? To heap up words against anybody for whom Jesus died. We do this. We badmouth. Often it's overt. Sometimes it's disguised. Subtled. But nevertheless, demonic. And he says, if your soul
was in my soul's stead, I could talk to you the same miserable way you've talked to me, and I could heap up words against you. And I could shake my head about you just like you've done with me. But Job said, that's not what I would do. I could do that. But here's what I would do. I would strengthen you with my mouth. I would strengthen you with my mouth. I would strengthen you with my mouth. Are you getting a hold of this? We speak to our souls, and we speak with discretion, and we speak comfortably. You need to strengthen your soul with your mouth. And when you talk to someone else, anyone else, you want to strengthen their soul with your mouth. Now watch this. If we speak to other people without the intent of strengthening their souls with our mouth, the negative stuff we do with them, guess where else it resides? In our own soul. Because with whatever measure you mete out, Jesus says, it's going to be measured back to you again. Y'all follow that? Oh, I would strengthen you with my mouth. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Most of us do one of two things when we talk about anybody or any situation. We either strengthen with our mouth or we heap up words against them. If we do this, we will damage our own souls. Now, there is stuff that needs to be said to people that you may think on the surface may not fit into this category, but let me tell you the truth. That is why the Holy Spirit lays specific criteria unto all men apt to teach. To strengthen them with our mouths. And the moving of our lips should assuage, ready? Reduce their grief. Oh, this is neat. This is really neat. Oh, this is so great. Are you all having a... Is this okay? I'm going to quit. I'm not even going to get started on the fears, although I want to do that. I've got it all ready. It's all ready to go. It was my intention just to send a few words to you tonight about your soul first, and obviously this is growing. We have a book in the Bible, most intriguing, it's called the Book of Hosea. The storyline in the Book of Hosea is that the prophet Hosea's wife was a whore. And she sold herself on the street corner for nickels and dimes and pennies. She offered herself to all the passers-by. And by the way, this has a big, important lesson to us. Because there's an analogy going on here. It's Jesus in the place of the prophet and we the unfaithful bride. And if you're ever dealing with someone where the spouse has committed adultery,
If a woman's gotten involved with another man, you want to turn to the book of Hosea for the specific instructions of what to do about that situation. What I'm going to let you see here in this one verse is three of the instructions that God gives to Hosea what to do with his adulterous wife. Number one, allure her into the wilderness. Get her out of the city. Get her out of the situation. Get her out of the context. Away from it all. Step one. You need to allure her, and you need to bring her into a separation from her context. And what you need to do when you get there is speak comfortably to her. Isn't that interesting? If you were following your natural inclinations and you could get her away from the situation and got her, you could give her a real piece of your mind, couldn't you? Wouldn't die. And beloved, I'm the whore. And I'm the one who's failed God. I'm the bride that hasn't measured up. And this is what he does with us. He entices us. He allures us away. Till there's a quiet place somewhere. And he does not pick up a big stick and whack you over the head. Doesn't put his finger in your face and give you a lecture. He doesn't yell and he doesn't scream. Every time I have failed the Lord in my life, he has behaved himself in this manner. He has spoken comfortably. Would you just raise a hand up to him and say, thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, this is love. This is the stuff of God. We're not talking about doing business the way the world does it. We're talking about this wonderful personality of God who is all wisdom and full of understanding and compassion. And his compassions, they fail not. And when I deserve a severe beating, I've gone my own way. Oh, he draws me to himself. Doesn't mean he doesn't straighten me out, but he does it in a manner which is not heaping up words against me. You got it? Have you got it? And Hosea, this is how I want you to deal with your harlot wife. Wouldn't you like to know what the next thing he told her to do? Told Hosea to do with his wife? Well, that's verse 14. You can go home and read 15. My wife loves verse 15. I'll tell it to you. Hosea, give her a vineyard. Give her something.
She deserves to lose, not get. Jesus. See, he paid the whole price. And he gives us what we don't deserve. Didn't earn. And he speaks comfortably and he gives us a vineyard. He gives us assets. He gives us something to do that's worthwhile. Because in the vineyard, she gets lots of grapes from the vine. And guess what? Symbol of the Holy Spirit. So, speak comfortably to your own soul and to the souls of others. And lastly, and this is it, you need to take charge of your soul. If you don't, your soul, the accumulated ideas, thoughts, and feelings that came to you without qualified criteria, they will take charge of you. If you don't take charge of it. So David said, soul, I'm telling you what to do, soul. And I'm telling you, soul, that you need to bless the Lord. You need to bless the Lord, soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In fact, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now watch this. Listen to what he's telling his soul. Forget not all his benefits. Does your soul remember the benefits that come from the Lord? You see, if our souls were healthy and remembered the benefits that come from the Lord, remember the diagram on Sunday? Elation, depression. Remember the red zone, the yellow zone, the green and blue? You'll be living on the top side of blue and green, if not peaking very often in the yellow. Because you took charge of your soul instead of being a victim of the thoughts and feelings that have accumulated you in your soul and dictated to you how you're going to respond today and tomorrow and how you're going to feel. You take charge of your soul. You learn to command your soul. If you learn to command your soul, you'll never fail God. Now let me close with this. This is very related to your health. We started last week on the seven fears identified in Scripture that damage health. We have four of them to cover tonight, but tonight's a lot younger for me than it is for you. So we're going to do those four, but here's, watch this now. Guess what those fears are? Guess where those fears come from? Why are those fears resident in our souls and damage our health?
cause everything from asthma to heart conditions to stroke down the line, depressions. How do they do that? Because they get in the soul. And our job as keeper of the vineyard, keeper of our souls, to get the stuff out of our souls. Take charge of your soul. Speak to it. Speak with discretion. Be really careful what you say to yourself. Speak comfortably. Take charge. It's your soul. And it will affect your health. Would you bow with me, please? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Too often, we approach sickness and disease after the fact, trying to get some emergency relief for something that took long years to get there. Help us to realize that we need to go back and undo the stuff that caused the sickness and the disease. We need to go back to our souls and root out false, impure ideas, notions, feelings that have been ruling us, spoiling us. So God, tonight I pray for each person here, and I ask in the name of Jesus for each of us to do diligence to this task. Follow these instructions, for they are given to us by you in your word, for our betterment, for our healing, that none of these diseases would come upon us. I pray this for each person here tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, I guess I should have never got down the road where we're supposed to be going tonight, but maybe we did get down the road where we're supposed to go. I don't know. But, and the Lord good. Oh, the Lord's good. Amen. Amen. That's how our soul should respond. Oh, that's right. Dear beloved, did you catch that? Let your soul respond to God. Amen. Let not be oppressed. Don't let the enemy silence us. Amen. Let's stand together. Raise a hand up to heaven and say, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just go ahead. Say it out loud. Shout His praises. Don't let your soul be downtrodden any longer. Praise the name of God. The Lord bless you, keep you, make His face shine upon you, lift up His countenance upon you, and give you peace. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourself in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. For if God be for you, who can be against you? What shall separate us from the love of God? Oh, beloved.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.